You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Hey, hope your weekend's off to a great start. 2.5 minutes into the third quarter in Toronto. The Argos up 21-10 on the Montreal Alouettes. Later on tonight, Rough Riders at Lions. The Elks returned from their bye week today. They practiced at Clark because the Rugby Sevens are taking over Commonwealth Stadium, and we'll have Canadian Rugby Sevens captain Phil Berta on the show a little bit later on tonight. The Elks in Ottawa on Tuesday. That game's going to be on Kissin' Country 103.9 because we'll have the Oilers and the Kraken right here on 630 Ched. The Ryder Cup, quick start for the United States. They lead Europe 6-2 after day one. Baseball tonight now after 5, Yankees pounding the Red Sox 7-0, and the Blue Jays not having a good start in the bottom of the second. They already trailed the Twins 3-0. The Blue Jays one game out of a wild card spot, trailing the Yankees by a game, and they're three games behind the Red Sox. So we'll keep an eye on those ones. But obviously, the good news for the Blue Jays is one of Boston and the Yankees is going to lose, but the other one's going to win, and the Blue Jays not off to a good start today, down 3-0. Oilers training camp, of course, you can always get the full story on 630ched.com. Global News. .ca. They will play at Calgary on Sunday. The face-off show here on Ched is at 5:30. The game is at 7. You know, I think we more or less know who's going to be on the team, but there are some players pushing, and even if they don't make the team now, maybe they're the first call-up when somebody is needed from the farm, from the Bakersfield Condors. And Tyler Benson, you know, he was talking today. He'd lost a few pounds over the summer. He wanted to come in a little bit lighter. He did play those 7 games in the NHL in the 1920 season, but generally he's been with Bakersfield after playing junior with Vancouver. And Benson was saying today, look, I'm 23 years old. I belong in the NHL.
I do, yeah. No, for me personally, I feel like this is where I belong. I feel like I've put in the work in the AHL level. I've done well there for the 3 years, and I feel like coming into camp, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be a full-time player, and personally, I just feel like I'm an NHL player, so I'm going to keep working hard throughout camp and prove that I deserve a roster spot.
Thought Benson looked pretty good today in the scrimmage, and yes, I know what you're thinking, Reed, it's only a scrimmage, and yes, it is, but it's step one. I can only tell you what we see so far. I'm sure he'll get plenty of exhibition games, and we'll see if Tyler Benson is indeed ready to make the jump. One guy making the jump, and I'm pleased to welcome him back to Inside Sports. He is joining the Seattle Kraken broadcast crew on 950 KJR in Seattle. And, several years in the Western Hockey. And I believe he was at Jack Michael's old gig with the Alaska Aces. Mike Benton is checking in tonight on Inside Sports. Mike, you're on with Reed. How are you doing, sir?
Reed, yes, you got that absolutely correct. A tribute, I would say, to the Alaska Aces pipeline with promoting NHL.
You know what, Mike? Mike, we'll just put you on hold there for a sec because you're cutting out, and every second word was not being heard. And we definitely want to get your story and your connection to Alaska. So Kellen will just clean up that connection. But yeah, the Seattle Kraken joining the NHL this season, their first ever training camp is underway, and that involves hiring some broadcasters as well. We just want to make sure we got Mike loud and clear there. Kellen, have we fixed that, you think? Okay, let's try that again. Mike, I hated to cut you off, but like I was saying, only every second word was coming through. So the joys of live radio, as you've experienced yourself. But yeah, tell me about that connection to Jack's old team, the Alaska Aces. Pretty unique franchise.
Well, as far as connections go, it's preseason for everyone and everything, especially when it comes to 4G or 5G here. But I'm happy things are potted back up just like normal. Yeah, Jack Michaels with the Alaska Aces, as you know, made the jump right from there to the Edmonton Oilers about now a decade ago. Succeeding him, Josh Bogorod, who then jumped from there to the Dallas Stars, where he is now front and center of their broadcast team. I took a different route after spending time with the Aces. I found my next opportunity in the Western Hockey League, but really with one of the premier flagship franchises, the Everett Silvertips, in the Pacific Northwest. And they were so good to my family and I with taking care of us and giving, as far as my career was concerned, every tool and resource from human beings to tangible objects to succeed. And I would credit a lot to them as far as helping open doors like this. And it makes me pumped because it's not just a place where we settle into, but it's essentially home. I grew up here until I was age 7, came back in 2015, and in between there made frequent stops up here with family to, you know, see grandma and grandpa and celebrate the times that we've had, for even my grandparents going back about nearly 90 years. So to see that come full circle and now be a part of what will be the NHL's newest franchise, for sure, dream come true.
Yeah, awesome stuff. And I want to ask, and by the way, I should let people know, Mike's going to be, you'll be doing the pre- and post-game show in the intermissions, which is the equivalent of what I do for the Oilers. Plus, I have this talk show, so similar stuff. You know, you worked for Everett for the last several seasons, and as you said, you know Washington State. I'm curious, are the Seattle Kraken, are they going to be Seattle's team, or are they going to be Washington, Oregon, and Idaho's team? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how widespread do you think their popularity is going to be here, especially off the hop? Or do they need to win a bunch before that happens?
They are casting a very, very, very wide net here, Reed, and it won't just be Seattle's team, it won't be the Puget Sound's team, but it will be effectively an NHL team that the Pacific Northwest and then some can really embrace. They're going to have a broadcast footprint, not just for the states of Washington, but also for Oregon, for Idaho, and even going all the way up to Alaska. I mean, in my 2 years with the Aces up there, you saw a lot of embrace of the Seattle teams just because of, funny enough, a lot of crossover from people who lived in Seattle would come up to Alaska either just for vacationing or even to relocate, and vice versa. I can share the testimony here as far as the latter. So there's a lot of emotional buy-in and tie-in to begin with as far as the Mariners, the Seahawks, and, you know, getting the Kraken involved, it was effectively a no-brainer. So there's already, you know, a good tie-in here with a partner as far as airlines, with Alaska Airlines. They're going to be front and center, and it's going to be a partnership here to really help grow the game in places that haven't seen the NHL in the past several years.
All right. Well, they're going to be interesting to watch. I do think the jerseys are great, by the way. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I've had some fun with the name, even though I do like it, but it's kind of fun to say and get Kraken and here come our tentacles and all that kind of stuff. But I won't bother you too much with that. But so now, you know, training camp's underway. Who is there somebody that one of the players or players that is kind of, okay, this guy's the face of the franchise? Like, this is a name that maybe even people will know if they're just casual hockey fans. I mean, clearly Oilers fans are interested that Larson and Eberle are there. I think it's significant Giordano went there. Is there somebody that's kind of being trotted out in that role by the Kraken?
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting that the first two players on the ice for the historic very first day of training camp and the very first skate were two players combining of 21 years of NHL experience, and both Mark Giordano and Jonas Donskoy. Giordano was the first man to the podium ever after a practice, which tells you a lot about how much I think this organization believes in him and how much experience that he has left. And, you know, for the miles that he still has left in his engine, how much he can really be a big contributor here for this team in season number one. I had a chance earlier today to ask, you know, several players as far as maybe, you know, who's the one guy that they thought, I couldn't stand playing against this guy because he was so tough. And now, oh man, thankfully I've got him on my side. And one answer I heard was a familiar name to those in Edmonton, in Jordan Eberle. You ask defensemen on just how tough he is to defend with, how shifty he is, how gifted he is with a puck, especially in tight spaces. I'm very curious to see, based on the right kind of combination, what he can do to really help put up points here for this team in the get-go. You know, there's not too much pressure, I think, to, you know, try to go out and put up 80, 90 points, but based on the miles that he's got here for his game and coming in being part of a brand new thing here for this franchise, he's a guy that you'll look at be a big, big factor here from the outset, and a guy that was so tough to defend, but for a lot of D-men, he's a good guy to now have on their side.
Okay, Mike Benton joining us tonight. He's good with the Seattle Kraken Hockey Broadcast on 950 KJR. Okay, I'm going to throw one more at you, and Mike, and I'm sure you do it sometimes too, as somebody's on the radio, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, so if you need to roll your eyes when I ask this, I understand, because I do have that effect on people sometimes. But I'm wondering, and you're going to have to, I guess, put your prediction hat on a little bit, what team or teams as visitors to Seattle do you think are going to create the biggest buzz? Like, might it be McDavid and the Oilers or the Canucks coming down, or the Seattle fan base going to be have more of that buzz when it's, you know, the New York Rangers or the Boston Bruins or Chicago Blackhawks coming to town? What do you think?
Just based on location, the obvious answer, number one, is going to be the Vancouver Canucks. And it's because of the location where there's potentially a rivalry that could brew just based on geography. And lo and behold, the very first home game in franchise history will be against the Canucks coming up this next month in downtown Seattle. And then you add in the fact as well that there's some preseason spice, and the very first preseason game in franchise history will be against the Canucks. So, you know, in comparison to what, you know, some people might see with Edmonton and Calgary, you know, the New York area with the Rangers and the Devils or the Islanders, there are some seeds planted now to really make this a big thing down the road between the Kraken and the Canucks. And as we all know, you know, a rivalry really gains more weight when potentially the postseason is involved. So just think about that with how much more you could really add into that should these teams ever meet down the line. But you get a lot of transplants here who now call Seattle and the surrounding areas their home. And the one thing that really excites them is that they get to come and see, for instance, those moving up north from California get to see the Los Angeles Kings once again, the San Jose Sharks. I even have a friend in town here, and I have no idea how he does it, but has season tickets. The Vegas Golden Knights actually gets on a plane from Seattle to go see the Golden Knights, and he can come see them now here in downtown Seattle. And, you know, for others who have moved out here and they get to see the Blackhawks, or even those get to see, you know, the Maple Leafs or Montreal, the Philadelphia Flyers, New York Rangers, et cetera, that brings a lure of those teams who can bring those marquee names and marquee stories. And, of course, the Oilers with Connor McDavid, need we say more? So there's potentially a lot that adds here to the tapestry of this first season, but I'm looking forward to it beginning with the Canucks and how much energy and passion is going to be in that building for these fans, for the players, and then with more marquee names down the line.
Right on. Well, Mike, hey, you're a great story yourself, so thanks for telling part of that and giving us some early insight into the Kraken here and on Inside Sports. I'm sure we'll do this a few times throughout the season. And by the way, I got a text from Cam Moon, who's very happy for you as well.
Oh, my boy, Cam Moon. I couldn't be any more proud of him. My friend Jack as well, too. And, you know, for a good friend of ours and mine as well, Everett Fitzhugh, who will handle the play-by-play, long time coming here for him. The one thing that we always appreciate is just how open and accessible they are. And yeah, by all means, they're going to be great listens. And, you know, please give my best, of course, to good friends, Motor and Jack out there.
Right on. See you, Mike.
Thank you, Reed.
Mike Benton checking in. He'll be the host for Seattle Kraken Hockey on 950 KJR. So yeah, Mark Giordano, you know, kind of, well, not kind of, rolled out as one of the big faces of the franchise. And Jordan Eberle, Mike Benton, with some praise for him as well as the Seattle Kraken roll into their first season. Now, 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Toronto leading Montreal 21-10 in the Canadian Football League. We have more Oilers stuff coming up. We have U of A football. We have rugby sevens. We got Name the Animal. And we only got 40 minutes before 8 o'clock. We better take a break and then get back to work. it's a blitz edition of Name the Animal, because we got to fit this in here. So Kellen has an animal either live in studio or the taped sound of an animal. He's going to play it, and I have to guess what it is. And I only have just over, I have about 90 seconds to do this today. Okay, go ahead, Kellen.
Okay, ready, go.
It's a budgie.
No.
Is it a bird? I always think it's a bird.
No, it is not a bird.
Is it a feline?
It is a feline.
Okay, it's not a little house kitten.
Yeah, you got it. There
it's
you
a
go.
House, it's a kitten.
It's a kitten.
It's a kitten, baby. It's a kitten. That's a kitten.
That's a kitten. Yeah.
Yes, that's a kitten. And the kitten's name?
Is Cuddles. I don't know.
It's Cuddles. It's Cuddles the kitten.
It didn't have a name, so we're giving it the name.
It's Cuddles the Inside Sports Kitten to go along with Cheddar the Inside Sports. How is Cheddar doing, by the way?
Pretty good. I'll have to track him down here.
You haven't talked to him lately, eh?
I tried texting him, but I think he's got me blocked or something. I don't know.
That's right. Our goat won't reply to our texts.
That's right.
That's how low Kellen and I have sunk. You guys got any friends? Well, we used to have a goat friend, but he stopped talking to us.
I suggest that It's a Kitten go up there on the Broadcast Hall of Fame with Do You Believe in Miracles and other great play-by-play calls. It's a kitten.
The most famous words I've ever spoken on the radio. And as I say that, a commercial for Klump and Seal Absorbex with cats dressed as cowboys comes up on the television. Is this, what do you call this stuff cats poop in? Cat litter?
Cat litter, yeah.
Yeah. I call it the stuff cats poop in. It's much more technical. Okay. We'll go from cats to golden bears when we get back. Leading the Blue Jays 3-0 in the top of the fifth. Also, Yankees up 7-3 on the Red Sox after six. Red Sox trying to chip away. It was 7-0 for the Yankees at one point. Final play of the third quarter. Close game in Toronto. The Argos up 21-17 on the Alouettes. Looks like they'll have a field goal try from about just outside of 30 yards once the fourth quarter begins. The Oilers will have a practice split into two groups. Players split into two groups tomorrow. So one group practicing at Rogers Place at the same time. The other group will practice at the DCA. Then they'll convene for a scrimmage at 11 o'clock. They also had a scrimmage today, though. Several of the prominent forwards, including Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, McDavid, Puljujärvi, and Hyman, did not participate. Kyle Turris was on the ice, and he was not on the ice nearly as much as he wanted to be last season. He played only 26 of the 56 games. He was scratched in the playoffs, and it was not an experience that he enjoyed.
It was really frustrating. It was really tough. I knew I had to play better, but sitting there watching, especially, four straight games in the playoffs, it was really tough. It was really frustrating, and definitely kind of fueled some of my motivation this summer.
Going into last season, it was hoped Turris would be the third line center, that he could provide some offense and that he could check a bit. Really wasn't able to do either. He had just 2 goals and 5 points in those 27 games. He was minus 11. Now, the Oilers are going to use him as a winger here through the exhibition schedule and see how it goes for him. Turris, as he did through his 7 seasons in Ottawa, stayed in Edmonton throughout the summer. He worked with Oilers strength and conditioning coach Chad Drummond. He was at the rink a lot, skating, working out, and doing some different things to try to be in really good shape. Dave Tippett said today he was one of the top guys when it came to fitness testing for the Oilers, and he talked a little bit about why he was so focused with his workout plan.
The game's changing. It's younger, it's faster, it's more explosive, a lot more change of direction. It's, from when I first came in, it's a different game. So just training in a way that allows me to adapt and take advantage of those changes. Even though I'm a bit older, I have maybe more experience to anticipate plays better, read the play a bit better, but using that and then pairing that with, you know, the extra strength and weight I put on this summer and explosiveness to take advantage of how my mind works, allow me to do it physically as well. So, yeah, hopefully the two can come together here.
You know, in the 1920 season, Turris had 31 points in 62 games for the Nashville Predators, which was underwhelming considering what they were paying him. Well, the Oilers weren't paying him anywhere near what Nashville was paying him. And if you would have looked at Turris, and I said this a lot myself, going into last season, if Turris could have got half a point per game, even, you know, 0.4, 0.45 points per game and done a decent job defensively, that would have been a win for Edmonton. But like I said, he wasn't able to produce and he wasn't able to check overly well either. So now going to play the wing if he does get a chance to play during the regular season. So hopefully a role that he'll be able to embrace. And Dave Tippett says, you know, Turris is working pretty hard to get that spot.
It's funny. I had him as a young player and then I had him in a world championship and then, you know, coming in last year, we were hoping he would fill that third line center and give us some solid minutes there. And it just it wasn't a great fit from the start. And then we tried some other people and got going. So he was kind of in and out. He understands that. He knows he can be a better player than he was last year. I think he's used that frustration from not playing as well as he'd like or not playing enough last year into training this summer and wants to extend his career. And he's a proud guy. He's a proud guy. He's played in this league a long time. He's been a good player in this league. So he's come in great shape. I think he was in number 3 or 4 in our overall conditioning this year. So he's given himself a chance. He wants to come back and redeem himself and play well.
Well, that's what it'll be about for Turris, who turned 32 on August 14th. Good for him getting those conditioning results. Tippett was asked, by the way, who the top two guys were for the Oilers in conditioning, and he would not disclose that. But Turris did very, very well. We'll see if he can turn it into results on the ice. Okay, we're going to switch from the ice to the football field here for a second. The U of A Golden Bears football team finally back at it. They didn't have a season last year. Tomorrow, regular season action at Footfield, 1 p.m. against the UBC Thunderbirds. Chris Morris is the head coach of the Golden Bears. Chris, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Reed. How about you?
I'm doing very well. It's nice to have you on the show. Finally back at it for your team after everything you and everybody else has been through here for over a year. How's everybody feeling? How excited are you to play a game that counts in the standings?
Yeah, we're really excited. I guess that's there's really no way to overstate how excited everybody is here in our group, like from players to coaches to support staff to the administration here at the school. I think everybody's excited to get going again.
Okay. Well, look, I know you're pretty happy with your recruiting class, not just this year, but also last year, though I did see the Canada West projections, predictions, whatever you want to call it, come out. Didn't have you guys in an overly flattering spot. Maybe you didn't even look at that. Does that matter to you? Do you care what other people think going into the season?
Yeah, I don't think anybody has any idea, like, who's coming off the bus right now. Like, honestly, I don't think, like, normally those coaches' polls are decent, but this year I don't think anybody has any clue as to who's still back at most programs. So, you know, I feel strongly we'll finish quite a bit higher than that, but we'll have to wait and see and prove that.
You have an interesting coaching staff with a lot of connections to the Double E football team. Yourself, you know, you got Coach Higgins on defense. You've added AJ Gass. I mean, this is a pretty loaded coaching staff, I feel. A lot of guys with high-level experience here.
Yeah, we certainly have a wealth of knowledge and expertise on our staff. Like, it's a really, really good group of guys, too. A lot of guys that know how to get along with kids and understand, you know, the priorities that we have here at U of A. So it's fun. It's fun every day to come into work. It's fun every day to work with these guys. And they're, you know, I'm learning a lot every day. There's a lot of really knowledgeable coaches here. It's really nice to be able to learn from each other and sort of, you know, put things together for these kids that I think are going to put them in a really good position to be successful.
All right. And obviously, you know, you have some really important veteran guys who were able to still be able to play their fifth years. You know, you can watch the CFL every weekend and see Beard and Cordy and Lawrence and former Golden Bears like that playing in the league. I assume some guys this year that realistically the next step could be a shot at the CFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we got, you know, I think Peter Kosciuszko was ranked 14th overall in the recruiting predictions at the beginning of the year. So I'd be shocked if he wasn't playing in the CFL in a year. The guy that people don't know about yet, but they'll find out pretty quick, is Josiah Shackle. Like he's one of our linebackers here. He's going to be one of the best players in the country this year. And he's going to be a high draft choice in the CFL, no doubt in my mind. You know, Jaden Dahlke's back. He was the all Canadian safety last year, and he's primed for another good year. So like we have quite a few guys that are very, very strong players at this level. Lots of them decided to come back and see what we can do here together.
Okay. Jonathan Rosary, has he changed positions? Has he gone from tailback to receiver? What's the story there?
Yeah, we're going to flex him in and out of the backfield. So we'll have him moving in and out along with Matthew Peterson. And like we have a wealth of talent at that position. And Rosie is such a dynamic player that we want him getting touches all over the field with the football. So we think he's one of the best in the country. We just want to make sure we can move him around and put him in a real good position to get as many touches as possible.
All right. Well, Chris, look, I'm excited to see how you guys do this year, because it was so cool to see you guys have a really solid campaign in 2019 to win some close games, to be nationally ranked for part of the season. So I just hope it's onward and upward again this season. Do you feel like, is there any momentum from 2019? Can any of that transfer over to now 2 years later after a lost year?
Yeah, I do think so. We've got a lot of the same guys back. Like when you look across the conference, everybody's sort of releasing their rosters now, right? Like we have a big chunk of our guys back, and that's not the case at every single program. So we're feeling good about our chances. We've got a lot of guys here who understand that, you know, we were close to being one of the best teams in the country last year. Like we were close in a playoff game against a team that could have won the Vanier. You know, we played Calgary twice, really, really in close games. Like we're coming along, and you know, all of that is great, but you know, you got to win and you got to show on Saturday afternoon, you know, what you're all about. And we're excited at our first opportunity to do that. We got a good group of kids here. They worked very hard. We got a good staff here that's worked hard. And we're anxious to sort of show the work we've put in and what we're all about.
All right, Chris. Well, we wish you all the best, of course, and we'll be having you and your guys on throughout the season. Look forward to the game tomorrow, man. All the best.
Thanks, Reed. Much appreciated.
Chris Morris, head coach of the U of A Golden Bears. 1 o'clock tomorrow, Footfield. They'll take on UBC. It's 7:44. Quick timeout. Rugby Sevens takes over Commonwealth Stadium this weekend. Phil Berna is the captain of the Canadian men's team. Phil, welcome to Inside Sports. How are you doing?
A lot of energy, Reed. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. I think you're the one with all the energy, being a rugby player and ready to rock and roll for this weekend. How do you spend the night before a busy, big weekend of games here?
Resting mostly. We had our captain's run and little energizer work in the gym this morning, and then the rest of the afternoon has just been a little nap, massage, some physio, and now I'm in my gray sweatsuit waiting for dinner, and then the games to start tomorrow.
Okay, right on. Well, look, I want to talk about this weekend, of course, because it's an important one for Canada, and it's a great event to have here in Edmonton. But I want to get to know you a little bit and your story. You know, locally, when it comes to rugby, we've had Jen Kish, who was on the women's team for several years, her story through rugby and getting into rugby sevens. What about for you? Were you rugby from a little guy, or when did it sort of become your specialty?
It wasn't from when I was too young, but I played a lot of sports growing up, and a few friends on the football team in Vancouver. I was at Vancouver College, and they were also on the rugby team. So they kind of told me, hey, come out. You're a pretty fast, strong guy. I think you'd be a good fit, and we just want to hang out more. So come out to the rugby pitch that was five or so blocks away from my house in Kitsilano at the Mariloma Rugby Club. And yeah, the rest is history. Played a few seasons there and then went to St. George's, graduated from there, played a bit of university rugby at UBC, and then found myself with the National Sevens team for the past 6 years now.
So do you have to train differently to be a sevens player than you would for, you know, for the 15 man rugby? Did you have to make any adjustments along the way?
It's just such a fast paced game, and fitness is so important in both codes, but I think sevens, it's just such a crazy anaerobic workout that if you're not at peak performance, then you might be struggling a little bit on the field.
Was there an adjustment mentally? Because what, you went from an 80-minute game to a 14-minute game? Do I have that right? I mean, there's not a lot of time to make up ground if you fall behind.
Yeah, it gets a bit stressful out there sometimes. We got a young team here, so if we ever get a try against us, we just I look around, tell them to take a breath, calm down, regroup, because it certainly ticks away fast, but that is part of the fun and the beauty of sevens. It's just an all-out sprint for those 14 minutes, and then you rest up a couple hours and you go two more times.
Well, you mentioned having a young team, and I believe you had four members of the club decide to step away after Tokyo. So, man, oh man, like, how do you transition and have people fill those roles, not just on the field, but I'm assume with, you know, leadership, the dressing room vibe, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we're just we're working on it now, just making it our own. We're not gonna bring over everything from the past generation. We have to kind of honor the new guys and the skills they bring to the table and the different personalities. And we're just kind of working to find our team identity. Right now we've worked out that we're going to call ourselves internally the Bad News Bears, because we're a group that's just been thrown together. We're new. We have a lot to prove. So that's our little team identity going into last weekend and this weekend. The Bad News Bears looking to prove some people wrong.
Well, I got to say, I'm impressed, Phil, that athletes of your relatively young age knows who the Bad News Bears are.
I think I'm going off the remake in 2005 with Billy Bob, Billy Joe Thornton there, or whoever I'm thinking of there. Not the original 1970s one.
Okay. Yeah, I still think of the original one when I think of the Bad News Bears. Look, I think we got pretty good weather in Edmonton tomorrow. And look, it is September. It's not December. Be honest, was part of you thinking with some of these countries coming from warmer climates that you wouldn't have minded a freak fall snowstorm or like a plus 2 day?
it would have added to the event. I think for the on-field performance, but I'm glad it was a really sunny day today. I'm hoping it looks like it'll stick around for this weekend. So yeah, we're hoping a lot of supporters come out for us. Walk-up tickets are available, so let's pack that Commonwealth Stadium as much as we can so we can get that real hometown advantage.
Well, I got to tell you, Phil, it's my experience, and you know, and again, to reference some of my chats with Jen Kish over the years, and especially watching her on the women's team play in the past, that no one watches a game of rugby sevens and goes away feeling disappointed. I mean, what kind of feedback do you often get from first-time fans to the game as they get introduced to it?
Yeah, I think they can be a bit bamboozled at times just because it is such a short game. They could be really left wondering what just happened and I want more. So luckily we have 12 men's teams and the Fast Four women's competition. So you will be getting your fix as soon as one game ends. Another one is just about to kick off. So the crowd can expect a lot of exciting moments and highlight reel plays. I think that's the beauty of seven, is that there's just so much action and highlight reel moments packed into the shortened game.
All right. And games all day, like you mentioned, Canada, Hong Kong at 11:15, back out there against Mexico at about 2:25. And then you play South Africa at 6:30. And so you got to win at least a couple of those to move on to the playoffs. How does it usually work here?
Yeah, we're in a 12 team tournament bracket. So the top two teams from each pool will advance, and then the next top two teams on points differential. So, I mean, our goal is to win all three, obviously, but we're hoping we can have a good game against Hong Kong, get that win. Mexico struggled a bit last weekend, so we'll hope to get our points up against them and then have a good contest against South Africa, who were the champions last weekend in Vancouver, and give these young guys another taste of what a high-quality World Series standard team is.
Right on. Well, Phil, we wish you all the best. Thanks for sharing some of your story. And it's so cool that this event here is in Edmonton. I know fans aren't going to be disappointed when they check it out. All the best, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Reed. And hope to see everyone out there cheering for the Canadian side and the Bad News Bears.
Right on, Phil. Thanks, man. Phil's the captain of the Canadian Rugby Sevens team, so I told you when their games are, action all day at Commonwealth. You can get walk-up tickets or go to CanadaSevens.com. And Edmonton's Jen Kish, now retired from the women's team, will be honored before one of the women's games on Sunday. Good stuff there. 27-17, Toronto leading Montreal with 7 minutes left in the CFL tonight. Blue Jays down 3-1 to the Twins in the fifth, while it is the Yankees leading the Red Sox 8-3, top of the seventh. Tell you what, I'm going to talk to you Sunday at 5:30 for the face-off show. The play-by-play starts at 7. Oilers at Flames in preseason action. Take care, everybody.
Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chad.